Let's turn to Exodus chapter 6. We begin the new chapter. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Again, we'll be reading about God who is Jehovah. We'll learn to know Him as Jehovah today for the first time in terms of experience in the new sense as He delivers the people, His church, from their enemies, as we sang about in Psalm 83. Exodus 6, verses 1 through 8. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Praise the Lord. May we trust in Him and praise Him as we hear Him and see Him as Yahweh today. Moses in Israel, particularly Moses today, is going to learn a great lesson. He's been set up to learn the great lesson. And, you know, if you think about it, what are our most meaningful lessons? They're when we have what we sometimes refer to as an aha moment. You know what I mean? There's just those times where all of a sudden it just hits you. And you go, aha! Or if you don't say aha, you say, oh, or I get it. Or, oh, you know, you find it. I mean, you usually do just kind of stop in your tracks and go, oh, I get it now. Now I see. Now it's all fitting into place. Now I can move forward. But what comes before the aha moment? Long periods of, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get you. And that's what we've seen most of Exodus. I don't get you, Lord. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's happening like this. And that's really the lesson that we saw through Genesis as well. And God wants you to be in that place, you see. He puts you in that place of, I don't get it, I don't get your plan, and I don't understand you, Lord. When you really come to that place of crying out to God, I don't understand, now you're ready. In a moment He's going to say, now you get it. But before you're going to get it, He's going to say, now you're ready. That's what He says in verse 1, and it relates to the last verses of chapter 5. Lord, I don't get it. And He says, now you shall see. God responds in our text today. God responds to Moses' cry for uncertainty with the certainty of His name. And what the certainty of His name means, powerful actions that are about to come upon Pharaoh. He's about to bust him up. And as you are now ready to see me in all my glory, Moses, now you will see. Now as you and Israel are crying out because you don't get it and you're totally confused and afraid, now you're ready to see. Now the stage has been laid for you to see God Almighty in all His glory because you realize you can't do a thing to save yourself. God prepares the Israelites to know Him as Yahweh, Jehovah. He prepares them to see Him and know Him like that by looking for deliverance from terrible trials. And sadly, you and I just don't look for Him when it's all going great. So He brings us to this place so that now we see Him. So now we'll really know Him. So Christ does the same. So Christ makes you know Him more deeply by bringing you into terrible situations of trials and temptations until you finally get to the place where you say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand You. I can't save me. And now He will show you things. He did that to you when you asked Him to save you, when He gave you faith and justified you by faith. He'll do that more and more to you in sanctification when you say, I'm pretending that I could do this. I'm going to be my own man. I'm taking things into my hand. No, I'm going to bring you to the place where you offer up your hands and say, I don't get it. I can't do it. And then you'll see Him. And then you'll know Jesus. Then you'll see Jesus. And ultimately, on the last great day, you'll see Him like you've never seen Him before when He delivers you finally from the last great enemy. But even now, through every trial and temptation that He brings you down on your knees before Him, where you finally cry out to Him, there you shall see Christ as He is. There you will know Him as Yahweh, as Yeshua, the saving covenant God. And that's the best place to be, beloved. Intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ is the best place you can possibly be. And you know it when you know Him, when you know you're there. May you see Him more. As you cry out to Him, you shall see Christ as He is. And that's the message. You shall see Christ as He is. And especially if you're crying out to be delivered from this world into heaven forever, you shall see Him as He is. You will see Christ by knowing your covenant family history, first of all, not to be neglected. Verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. We'll stop there for now. But you see, he says, I've appeared to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you've been paying attention, what has he been talking about a lot in Exodus? Here's why I'm going to save you. Because I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I showed them what you should know now, especially when you saw me in the burning bush. And then even in there, I talked about I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the covenant God of a covenant people. We have a history. You have a history in that history. And the history always is, I will take care of my people. I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, which is the phrase El Shaddai, one of God's names. He wants you to understand Him and know Him in terms of being a covenant God, a God faithful to His covenant, to the church of the covenant of every generation. Verse 4. And I have also established My covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I made My covenant with them, and I'm now going to establish My covenant with them. I'm good on My promise. I remember My people. I'm faithful to the covenant. Which is pretty neat to think about when we sang Psalm 83. What was He asking God to do? Deliver your church from all the enemies that are trying to destroy her, as You always have. Do it again now, Lord. And make them know, and make us know through the deliverance that You are Jehovah. But did you notice? It says they have made covenant against You. They have made covenant against You and your church to destroy you. So how good to know that God, well, it's all right because I already made covenant with the church first. That I will deliver them from the destroyer. And not just them, but their seed. We won't take the time to go back through the covenant, but the constant reminding of the covenant is I will be your God and you will be My people. That's in the text today. And your seed after you. And I will give you the land. That's the promise He's made. So He's keeping the promise. It's a family history. And people who don't know their family history often wish they knew it. People who don't have a sense of family wish they did. They have a sense of not belonging and a sense of insecurity. Being grounded in the covenant family and your covenant history is what gives you security. Which is why God just constantly talks about it. Which is why God has us in the Psalms constantly sing about it. You see, remember the Exodus, the book of Exodus is the second part of the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible. It's a complete whole. It goes on from there. But it's part of a series, if you will. Again, it's as if you're reading a trilogy. And there's three parts. And you know, you always got to get to the next part. But the next part has its sense and its meaning and its excitement because of what happened in the first part of the trilogy. And God wants us to know that this exodus, this deliverance, is completely tied in to the covenant. Remember in Genesis 15, He predicted this. He told Abraham this would happen. Now He's doing it. But it's all because of the covenant. The story picks up where the patriarchs left off. Or rather, what the patriarchs are now passing on to this generation. But now they're a mighty people. And they're finally going to take the land. So you need to study the Scriptures, beloved. You need to know the Scriptures, and you need to pay attention to something in particular. The promises, often used in the word covenant. You need to recognize what God has promised. Because what God has promised to His people, part of your spiritual family, will always happen, will always be true. Pay attention to the promise. Cling to the promise. Sing of the promises. And notice the eyes. All through the text, but notice the eyes. We already read in verse 3, 4, and 8. The eyes have it. And what are the eyes? God's eyes. Of course, it's His eyes, if you'll allow the pun. It's His eyes in Zechariah 4, verse 10, that rejoices in small things. And He promises to do the work for the church that they can't do for themselves. But notice that's what He's saying. I will do this. I have done this. I did that. And I'll do it again. I has nothing to do with you other than the fact that you're within His eternal decree and promise. Because you are, I'll do this. I'll do this. I did this. I did this. So I'll do it again. Notice it's all about God's sovereignty. God alone saves. Because God alone can save. That is, only God can save you. So ask Him to save you. Don't try to do it on your own. Ask God to rescue you. And as we're thinking about family history, ask God to rescue you from your past. So that you can live in this present with Him. Because you will see Christ by knowing you are part of His story. Verse 5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. I have heard the groaning of my people. Remember, we saw He's the one that made them groan, because they weren't groaning without Him. He made them groan so that He would rescue them from themselves in idolatry and slavery to Egypt. They'd almost become one of them. And we saw in the first few chapters, He made them cry. And then He tells Moses, I've heard their cry. And so He says, so I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to work through you, Moses, but I'm going to deliver them. And so He says, I've heard their groan. And then I've remembered my covenant with this generation. I'm with this generation of the church. I remember my promise to them through their parents. And so I will be faithful to this generation now. I didn't just hear the patriarchs. I hear you, Moses. I hear you, Israelites. I hear you, Christians. And so I will rescue you. He is faithful to each generation of the sons of Israel. Verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will do all this because you're my people. Because you're the sons of Abraham. And remember, church, Romans 4, verse 16. If you have the faith of Abraham, in Jesus Christ. You are the sons of Abraham. You are the seed of Abraham. You are the children of Abraham and have every claim to the promise as sons of God. As Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and the sons of Israel, you are the sons of Israel through Abraham. So flip through the Bible, study it well, and see God's family album there, see His family history there, and see your own face upon the pages. See your story here in the Scriptures. This is your family history. Flip through it and know you're part of it. You're one of it. This is not an academic document to study and leave on the shelves. This is your family history to consume and know who you are. Sons of Abraham. May the pages of your family, as you flip through it and you own it for yourself, and you say, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May your family album be filled with Christ's image in every photo. Each generation coming after you, may the Scriptures, the family album of the Scriptures, be just permeating your family album. Your family photos. May they see Jesus Christ in every picture. Notice again, the eyes have it. I will do these things. I will deliver you. I will rescue you. I have remembered. God alone saves. So ask Him to save you. Ask Him to deliver you from your present problems. Don't try to deliver yourself. Yes, in sanctification, you are to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not saved, ask God to save you right now. Because you can't save yourself. But He doesn't turn anyone away who truly wants to be saved by Him. So receive Him now. Receive the gospel and ask Him. And if you have, ask Him to rescue you, deliver you from your present problems that you keep thinking you can solve on your own without Him. You never will. He'll bring you to that place where you say, I can't do it. Then you'll cry out. Ask Him to save you from your present problems so that you look ahead. Because He wants you to be looking ahead. He wants you not to be looking into the past other than to know your covenant history. He wants you not to be dwelling only in the present other than to know where it is you are now so you know where you're going. He wants you to be looking ahead as new creatures in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, and He's taking you to the promised land. He's taking you to heaven. And He's changing you more and more along the way. But He will sometimes, in your stupid stubbornness, let you fall on your knees so that He can really show you something that you just haven't been willing to look at. And that's mainly Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll know Him in a new saving way than you did before. You will see Christ most by expecting Him and by experiencing His deliverance. You can talk about Jesus saves. You can be saved even. And talk about how Jesus can save you from all your sins and problems in life. But it's totally different. You know Him totally different when He actually saves you. When He actually pulls you out. When He actually releases you from slavery that you still call master. He can do that. And you only really know Him in deep ways as Yahweh when He delivers you. When He takes you by the hand and walks you through what you never thought you could go through. And you never could by yourself. But when He brings you through with Him, you know Him when you come out the other side in a deep, intimate way like you never did before. That's what He wants. He made you to be in relationship with Him. The covenant is an agreement to put you into relationship, just as marriage puts a man and a wife into a marriage. He wants that kind of relationship with you. And if He's got to bring you to your knees to ask Him to, He will. Because in the end, you'll know it's better when you know Him better. Verses 2 to 3. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now that word Jehovah is the same word in the Hebrew for every other time you see the word Lord capitalized in the text. So it's the same word, Jehovah, which is really Yahweh. Okay? It's such an important name, the Hebrews often wouldn't even say it out loud. It was so holy and precious and special. Covenant name for God. In fact, the Hebrew markings for the vowel pronunciation is for Adonai, Lord, little L. And so that's kind of where you get the sound Yahweh, because they wouldn't even actually speak it. It's so holy and beautiful and precious and important. So they give you different vowels to say it differently. But it's Yahweh. It's Jehovah, as we sang in our text. In our Psalms, as you see it here. But every time you see the capital word, capitalized L-O-R-D, Lord, it's the same word as when it's translated here, Jehovah or Yahweh. Now, wait a minute. Haven't you seen the word capitalized L-O-R-D before now? Well, you have. It goes way back to the beginning of Genesis. And while you see Elohim, which is usually translated God, and you see Lord, lowercase O-R-D, capital L, which is Adonai, you often see Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D. You often see Jehovah. So what does it mean when he says the patriarchs didn't know Yahweh? But you do know Yahweh. What's that talking about? What it means is this. You are going to experience Yahweh. You are going to experience Jehovah. You are going to know me in an intimate, real, powerful way that the patriarchs never did. That isn't to say they didn't know me, but they were waiting on the promises. They didn't see the promises. They had faith, and God did show himself as El Shaddai. You know, they're wrinkly and old, and yet they have Isaac, for instance. You know, God constantly does things for them. But the patriarchs never saw God as Yahweh like this. Now there's an incredible mighty nation. Millions of people are going to actually leave a country at once. And it's going to happen after God pounds the living daylights out of their captors, especially Pharaoh, until he finally, it says, not only lets them go, but drives them out. Please get out of here. You're literally killing us. Nobody in the patriarchs saw anything like that. You're going to know me as your deliverer. And of course, that's setting up the stage to know Jesus Christ as your deliverer. Moses and Israel will experience the covenant being established. Verse 4, I will establish my covenant now. I made the covenant before. I'll establish it now. That's what Yahweh's really getting at. Yahweh means he's the covenant God who is with his people and fulfills his promises to them in every generation. He delivers his people. And more he will show himself to be Yahweh through all the scriptures and most entirely in the flesh when Jesus Christ comes from heaven to deliver us completely from all our sins. And even more when he comes back on the last great day in all his glory as we see him in the book of Revelation. Verse 1, now you will see. You will know me as your deliverer because of what you will see with these mighty things I'm going to do. But you will be able to see that because now you're going to be able to see it. You've cried out to me, verses 22 and 23, the end of chapter 5. You've realized you can't save yourself. Israel's lost. You're all lost unless I bring my mighty hand in there and grab you and drag you out. But you can see that now. So now let me show you what I'm about to do to Pharaoh. You see your inability to save yourself. You see your inability to save your own people. By the way, you think he might have had a little bit of an ego trip with that? I mean, he tried to save some people and it didn't go so well and he ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, all in God's providence, but maybe he thought he would save Israel right then. He'd take it into his own hands. And he ends up running away from the Pharaoh at that time because he's got a death sentence on his head now. You know, maybe he's come back and he thinks, okay, now I'll deliver the people. Even though he kind of played this I'm afraid to talk card, I don't really want to do this. Maybe there's still a little bit of, well, I can do this. And God's going to say, you're going to do it, but I'm going to do it through you. And let's just make sure you get that before I move forward and do this mighty work. And now that you're ready to see it, you're ready to really know me as Jehovah. In Harper Lee's novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, there's this really impressive scene. Atticus Finch, he's a lawyer. His son, Jem, and the main character, all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank, but the younger daughter, they don't think much of their father. They think he's weak. They think he's unimpressive. Because they don't really understand him. He's actually an incredible man. But he's not one to flaunt it until the time comes where he needs to deliver somebody. And there's this scene in the book where there's a rabid dog coming down the road toward the house. And they call Atticus Finch to come, and he brings his friend, and his friend has the rifle. And he keeps saying, Atticus, you got to do this, you got to do this, I can't do this, I'm not a good shot. If that dog gets too close, we're in danger. And so Atticus finally takes the rifle, and he holds there, and it's far away, and in one shot, boom, that dog is on the ground dead. And you see the face. If you can see the movie version of this, it's a little different with the dialogue that's around it, but you get the idea in the book. His son is like this. He's in awe of his father. He says to his sister, "I have to try 10 times to even get close to trying to make a shot like that. Did you see that? He did it in one shot." And then the lady caregiver says, "Didn't you know that your father is called One Shot? Didn't you know that he's the best shot in all of Macon County? You didn't know that?" And she says, "You're not ashamed of your father now, are you?" "No." "You don't think your father can't do anything now, do you?" "No." And in the video, the look on their face was just respect and awe. But what brought it? Seeing their father deliver them from the potential of death when no one else could. That's what God's doing here. That's what He wants you to see Him doing here. That's the response He wants in you here. Because this really happened. He wants you, as we're about to go through the 10 plagues, to now be ready to see that only God can save you. And only God can continue to save you. He talks about you're going to see the great judgments in verse 6. That's referring to the plagues. 10 great plagues. 10 incredible works I'm going to do. I want you to see that. I want you to see me deliver you through those kinds of works so that you know me as Yahweh. Verse 7. You will know that I am the Lord. When you see me do these things, you will know that I am the Lord. And that's Yahweh there. But you're going to know me as Yahweh again in a way that the patriarchs never knew me. You see, the patriarchs had personal promises, but it's Moses and Israel that are personally delivered as a people. But even more, beloved, you've seen more than the patriarchs, and you've seen more than Moses and the Israelites. You've seen a man come down from heaven. You've seen, that is, God come down from heaven, the second person of the Trinity. And you've seen Him take on flesh. And you've seen Him live a perfect life that no one else could. And you've seen Him die on the cross. And you've seen Him rise from the dead. And you've heard Him say to you, "I'm going to raise you from the dead." You've heard Him in the Revelation say, if you've died the first death, you won't die the second death. That is, if you've died to yourself and you live in Christ, you'll never die the second death. Because Jesus has delivered you from it. And He'll keep delivering you from all the kinds of things in this world that when you try to do alone, destroy you. But when you ask Him, "Please save me," He'll say, "Now you're ready to see me. Now you're ready to know me even more today as Yahweh." Oh, beloved, are you ready to know God more as Yahweh today? Are you ready to call out on Him today to save you from your sins? Are you ready? Are you on your knees saying, "I have tried to do it on my own, Lord, and I've been faking it as if I'm trying to do it with you on my own," or maybe a little bit like we're partnering. "Now I know I can't save me. Save me, God. Save me, God." And then you'll be ready to see what He'll do to the tyrants in your life. Then you'll be ready to know Him. He'll bring you through that. And you'll be in awe of Him in a way you never had before. You'll love Jesus and adore Him more like you should. He'll bring you to that place. But what a privilege you have. Let's consider that. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Pardon me, I'm getting all disorganized here. Help me out. Help me find... there it is. Okay. I knew where it was, but I kept flipping right past it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 13. You've seen so much more in Jesus. You know God so much more as Jehovah through Yeshua.
Who is adoring, let it know. Oh, pardon me, that's not right. Chapter 1. I said chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 13. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see what he's saying? You've seen way more than the prophets. You've seen way more than anybody that came before the prophets. You've seen Jesus Christ. He's come. They were all looking to Jesus. Moses, we know, is a type of Jesus. The Exodus is a type of the deliverance of Jesus Christ for you out of hell and into heaven. He says, you've already seen that in a way they've never seen. You know God more intimately now, being delivered through Jesus Christ, His own Son. And you'll know Him even more when He comes back on the last great day. But He is coming. You will be rewarded and you'll know Him in a deeper way then. Notice once again in the text of Exodus, the eyes. God alone saves. God alone makes Himself known to you. God alone saves you and makes you know Him as your Savior by bringing you to your knees. By bringing you to the place of, I don't get it. I don't understand. So that He can deliver you. So that you say, aha. And glory be to the triune God. So ask King Jesus to deliver you. Ask Him, because you can't do it alone. Ask Him to deliver you into a holy life. And into heavenly glory. So that you can know these words for yourself. More and more. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. You see, Paul talks about knowing the fellowship with Christ through His sufferings, but he also talks about knowing the fellowship of Christ through the resurrection. God will bring you to suffer so that you cry out to Him to know the resurrection. Not only the resurrection in terms of salvation, first in your soul, but in an ongoing sense of resurrection, just conquering things in your life that you haven't been able to do on your own. Judgment Day is coming. And when Jesus Christ comes back, for you, His church, He will say something like this. Now shalt thou see what I will do to the devil. And you will know, especially on that day, that your Redeemer liveth. For you will see Christ as He is. Praise be to God. Let's pray. O Lord, cause us to know You as Jehovah. Bring us to our knees. Help us to lift up our hands and have You take everything into Your hand. Forgive us that we continue to try to be our own God. Only You are God. Only You are Jehovah. And for those who can come to the end of themselves and cry out, then You will show them. Then You will make them know You. O Lord, show us Jesus and make us know Him. Bring anybody here who has been fighting against You to their knees right now. Cause them to cry out to be saved. And save them, Lord. Bring us all to our knees with what we have been trying to do on our own. And help us to cry out, save us. And help us to watch You do it. And to know You as Yahweh and as our Lord in a new saving way. It's the best way. It's the abundant joy. It's the abundant life. We need it. And we can't get it on our own. And we can only get it from You. Help us to know You more today. Help us to see You more today, Lord Jesus, as You are. We pray in Your name. Amen.